This is Daniel.
This is Melissa.
Welcome to the BFP Internal Podcast. So it's been a couple of weeks, I think, since we recorded our last podcast. It's been an eventful last couple of weeks.
It feels like just yesterday, Daniel.
Well, time flies when you're having fun.
Not recording podcasts.
Yeah. So we had Tige surgery, which went really well. He has shown really impressive improvements in every domain, like, since the surgery. Like, he's...
Somehow he's happier, which I didn't know that would be possible, because he was already, like, a very happy baby, but he's even happier.
Yeah, and he's moving around a lot better. He seems to be more aware of what's going on.
Yeah, he's stronger and obviously, like, not as, like, lethargic. So, and these were all things that I was told to not get my hopes up, that nobody thought that it was connected to the craniosynostosis, like, that none of their studies show that there would be any developmental delays under the age of one. So if he was experiencing any developmental delays under the age of one, it was not related to the cranio. But I think that may not be accurate.
Yeah, it's I wasn't looking for any improvements, really. I just thought it was fix his head, that for something that was going to happen in the future, prevent something happening. And but it's, like, very obvious that something has changed with him.
Yeah. And then he's, and I don't know if you guys know this, he has a G-tube, which is, like, a tube that goes in his stomach to feed him, because that was one of the big things, is he stopped eating. And so now we just, like, put, you know, food directly in his stomach. And we had that switched out at the hospital for a smaller one, and that's gone really well, too. But also he's been wanting to eat food a lot more. He still can't quite eat food, but he's, like, trying. So it really does seem like, you know, something got fixed in there. I don't know what. They looked at his brain. They said nothing was wrong with his brain, but... apparently something was going on there, because now all of a sudden he wants to do all the things he didn't want to do before.
Yeah. But Tige, it's kind of old news at this point. So not. let's get to the real good news.
He's not.
So when you're in the hospital, you were taking care of Tige, and then all of a sudden you feel something.
What really happened was that I had been breastfeeding Tige up until we went into the hospital, and it had really dropped off a lot since he got the G-tube, because they've been giving him so many calories through his stomach. You know, when I was in the hospital, I was, like, particularly sad, because I knew that was, like, we're done. Like, I wasn't going to be able to do it. And we, you know, I think that was probably one of the hardest parts of, like, obviously, you know, being with him in the hospital, but also realizing, like, that journey was over and it wasn't my choice and it wasn't his choice. And it just kind of happened. And so thinking in that, I was thinking ahead to, like, okay, now that that's over, I should probably get back to, you know, tracking things, and also considering, like, maybe now I'll lose, that final baby weight, because those of you that have babies know that kind of holds on to things. And so I decided to take a pregnancy test, and it came up positive. And then I started thinking back to being in the hospital, and when I was holding Tige a lot, because I couldn't breastfeed him, so I didn't really have a lot that I could do to comfort him, so I was really carrying him around a lot. I had him in the baby carrier, and then I was cradling him and walking him around the room a lot, and when I was doing that, there was a couple times where I felt, you know, kind of like a movement in my stomach, and I just assumed at the time that it was, like, a muscle spasm from, like, I had not slept in about a week, and I was moving around a lot, thought it was a muscle spasm. But then after I got the positive pregnancy test, realized that that's what it feels like when a baby turns over in your stomach. So we made a very quick appointment for an ultrasound on Monday. And it turns out that I am 19 weeks pregnant.
Yeah, so that's what that's why Melissa missed part of the quarterly meeting with leadership. She was actually going to go get an ultrasound. So that's why. And so that's why I was really emotional in the second half of the quarterly.
Not. Yeah,
I wasn't, but I came back in with that knowledge on the second half of the quarterly leadership meeting.
He kept asking if I wanted to tell them, but I was like, no, we should. I had on Tuesday, I went and actually got like an anatomy scan and made sure everything was okay. But yeah, there was an actual whole baby that was turning over in my stomach and I had no idea. Literally no signs or symptoms. Like hindsight being 2020, like still can't say that there was ever any significant signs that I was,
besides feeling kicks in your stomach.
But that happened right before I took the test. And it turns out I have an anterior placenta. I forgot to tell you that, which means that the placenta is in the front. So that typically when the baby kicks, like the placenta absorbs a lot of that movement. So you're less likely to feel kicks and things like that. So I feel like that makes me feel less stupid, but also pretty stupid that this is my fourth baby and I had no idea. But on the bright side, I'm already halfway done and I didn't even know. So it's like going to be the fastest pregnancy ever.
Yep. So it's going to be a boy.
Oh, yeah.
That's another key piece of information.
I mean, I didn't care. I have enough of those.
Yeah.
There's just like so many of them now.
And we haven't completely decided on the name yet, but.
Yeah, I'm doing September, September 18th, but being that my babies are usually at like 36 to 37 weeks. We're thinking end of August, beginning of September. We've got plenty of time to pick a name. I don't like you. Normally do, but.
Yeah. So that's the update with everything on the family side of things.
Yeah.
And.
Oh, our kids are happy about it.
Oh, yeah. Kids are happy.
Yeah, we already forgot about those older ones.
Yeah, it's so super old news for those people. But we're doing, so on the business side of things, still kind of busy season, but, you know, the tax team did officially finish tax season and kind of just wrapping things up with all the extensions and so that was a great effort. I think we did really well, better than last year. And we're still bringing on a lot of new clients. So Kim and I are pretty busy with onboarding, and Nicole's still helping a lot with getting new cleanups done. And so still a lot of activity. And so things are looking pretty well on the business side of things. And there's been a lot of kudos that I don't have in front of me, recent kudos that people are doing great things. I know for sure.
I'm pulling it up on my phone. There's so many Slack channels. I need to like remove myself from half of these. There we go. All right.
Oh yeah, we've had a lot of 10 NPS ratings recently. I know that like at least 4 from last week, all 10s.
Oh yeah, I saw that email. Julie gave kudos to Sienna for staying in touch with Peter Dresden, who was particularly cranky. So good job, Sienna, for handling that. And then Paula gave kudos to Brixton and Erica for helping her with a team on a short request time. That was really great. Brixton doing a lot of work, also getting kudos from Richard, and I think also from Paula about assistance with working with Western View and Paint Pro, and more about bankruptcies and that type of crazy stuff. Richard also gave kudos to Julie for doing great work making sure nothing falls through the cracks. She's always on top of everything and alerts our team to issues before they become problems, which is true. I can't tell you how many messages I get from Julie telling me to not let things fall through the cracks. So let's see. There was another one. Oh, Khalid for researching options for HSA plan for that's is it Benchmark?
Yeah.
Yeah.
BSG.
Yeah. So thank you for going the extra mile for the client. That's really appreciated.
Yeah. Yeah, he's Khalid's done great work on Benchmark. A lot of moving parts there. And he's been digging into things pretty well with all the different entities they have going on.
They're complicated.
And for cascading messages, I don't have those in front of me. There are a couple new ones that we had that we're going to pull up. So, oh yeah, we gain client trust stand down. So basically, if we had anybody that we haven't spoke to on the phone or had a meeting with, we want to make sure we're giving them a call and kind of touching base with them, becoming familiar with their account before you call them, and touching base with them and saying, hey, I noticed, you know, XYZ is going really well in the business, wanted to see how things were going with you, if there's anything we can do to help you out. And so we're just trying to re-engage. I know it's been really busy the past few months, but as we go into the our less busy season, let's try to make sure we didn't, you know, no one fell through the cracks. Make sure we're reaching out proactively to folks maybe we haven't touched in over 30 days. And then just a note for scheduling with Richard. Richard's obviously he's pretty busy coming out, still even coming out of tax season. So unless they're a tax planning client, don't schedule directly on his calendar. Go ahead and create something in Help Scout, like a ticket. There's a how-to guide and on the cascading messages, and assign it to him to coordinate with that person directly before just don't schedule on his calendar, just to prevent taking up his time unnecessarily when he might be able to handle it via email. And then we have the meals rule for under $20 purchases. Doesn't replace any kind of rules that we have on client-specific rules or SOPs we have, but it's a new thing that we're doing that we've added a couple weeks ago for any meals that are under $20. And we don't have any client-specific rules. We're going to put them to owner draws because they're most likely the owners just purchasing something for themselves. And Practice Protect is still a thing. We're through the onboarding, but if you need help, make sure you reach out to Practice support at practiceprotect.com or submit an issue ticket with them. And there's a link in the cascading messages. We still have the affiliate program. And then we have the monthly company meeting, which is the 25th, which is tomorrow, Thursday. Probably listening to it tomorrow. So I doubt it will get this posted before then. But so make sure you're doing your
team member of the month nomination form.
Yeah, there we go. Cool. So I think that covers it for this episode.
Do you rate this podcast out of 10?
I think give it a 10.
Give it like a 9.
Okay.
I rambled a little bit at the beginning.
Yeah, well, hopefully, you know, your fourth born doesn't hear this podcast. You know, you only giving it a 9, and it's when you're, like, telling everybody about him being born. All right.
I've already forgotten I was pregnant again.
Yeah. All right, with that, we'll see you hopefully next week.
Yeah, well, actually, we'll see you tomorrow.
Yes.
What we'll do. I'll see you tomorrow. I'll be in the team meeting. So you guys have a great day.